Good evening, folks. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, a lot has transpired over the weekend. Thanks to this broadcast, we sounded the alarm on the Idaho McGuckin family predicament. Until this broadcast last week, nobody was paying attention. Nobody cared. Lots of people made phone calls, sent faxes. You would be amazed at how many radio programs people who listened to this broadcast called that night and the next day. And we woke up a nation. Lots of people went there. Most of them had weapons. Their intention was to do nothing more than to make sure that nothing happened to those children. The sheriff knew what was going on. He lives in Idaho. He saw what happened at Ruby Creek. And he gave his word that he wouldn't do anything whatsoever. And he didn't. He kept his word. Thank God. But if it hadn't have been for the outcry over Ruby Creek, some people call it Ruby Ridge, the fiasco at Waco, Texas, the massacre, the murder of almost 100 people, do you know that everything I told you about all of those things is now coming out in the open? The FBI is being proven right in front of your nose, in the press even, to be bold-faced liars, cover-up artists, murderers. They frame people and send them to prison, and they know it, and still leave them in prison. And did you also see the UPI article? Rumors of extremists with guns. I almost fell out of my chair laughing when I saw that. And that was pretty funny. Extremists, people who believe in the law, people who believe in the Constitution, people who watch the government murder and destroy and steal property and burn people. We're the only ones who have the guts to show up to make sure that that doesn't happen and that the law is followed. And we're called anti-government extremists. Sorry, poopies. But that's not us. No, they must have been talking about somebody else. Karl Marx must have had a gang on the way. Because they're the only anti-government people I know. They want to destroy constitutional Republican government. That's about as anti-government as you can get. We want to protect and preserve it, reinstate it, restore it. Protect people. Uphold the law. And the Constitution is the law. Not what anybody else says, not what some legislature passes, not what some sheriff decides he's going to do, not what the FBI gets it in their head that they're going to do. No, sir. The Constitution for the United States of America is the law, followed by the Constitution of each state, of the state wherein you live. Any law that it is not in concert with and does not conform to those constitutions is not law. does not have to be followed, does not have to be obeyed. Any government official or police official or agency official of city, county, state, or federal government who operates under color of law outside the law and outside the restrictions placed upon them by the Constitution for the United States of America and the Constitution of the state wherein they are an official, must be opposed. Must be opposed. And if necessary, arrested themselves by the citizens. Oh, that drives socialists and Marxists right up the tree. They can't stand hearing that stuff. And it gives me such pleasure to lay it across their ears like a cat of nine tails. They're masochists, you know. They're masochists. You'd be surprised how many socialists, Marxists, traitors, despots, and tyrants listen to this broadcast every night and fume. You can see the smoke coming out of their ears. It just kills them to hear what I have to say and what our callers have to say on this broadcast. And every night they tune in like good little masochists because they must have their little whipping. They must be whipped. You wouldn't ever catch me listening to a program that I didn't like or that made me angry to listen to it or that I hated the host or the people who called in or anything like that. I find what makes me happy, what I like to listen to, what promotes my cause, and I support them. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back. There's lots to talk about. Believe me, there's lots to talk about. Lots has been happening, especially up in Idaho, and we're going to get that tiger by the tail. A friend of mine calls it social illusion. I love it. We'll be right back.
up in Sandpoint, Idaho, ladies and gentlemen. Remember the first news stories that came out of there? Hear what they were saying? That this was an extreme right-wing fundamentalist, so-called, and they use this word, so-called patriot extremist family. Didn't say anything about the father having died just 2 or 3 weeks before. Didn't say anything about the mother being distraught over her husband having died, and basically they were left destitute. Didn't say anything about the fact that the local power in the community there has been trying to take their land away from them for years because it's a very valuable piece of property. No, what they said was that Mrs. McGuckin was paranoid, and she had these false ideas that the local government, the powers that be, were going to try and split up her family and steal their land. And they call that paranoia. I think it's incredible that Americans are so stupid they can't see through this whole thing. You see, if I stand on the street corner and I tell you there's going to be an accident, a big accident right at that intersection at 12 noon, and it's going to happen, you can call me paranoid until the moon turns purple, but if there's a big, huge accident at that intersection at 12 noon, I'm no longer paranoid. You're confused. That's exactly what happened, you see. They broke up her family, and they stole their land. And when I say stole, I'm being very kind. At the top of that little scheme, you'll find the judge, the prosecutor, probably some local members of the Masonic Lodge. They still haven't disclosed the name of the person or organization that bought the property at the scam sale. You see, that property is worth many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars, possibly a couple of million. It's 40 acres that includes a good portion of the shoreline of a lake in prime real estate value, Idaho. People have had their eye on that property for years. They said that Mrs. McGuckin was guilty of felony child abuse. Yet no one will say what that felony child abuse is, but we've managed to find out. They claim that there was no electricity, no water, no food, no clothing for the children, all lies. They claim the children were eating lily pads from the lake, all lies. Children have always had food. They said that Mrs. McGuckin was spending the children's food money on alcohol. All lies. None of it happened. Then when it finally came out that the husband had died, and that came out on this broadcast and nowhere else, and once it came out on this broadcast, they could no longer hide it, and that Mrs. McGuckin was in mourning, grieving for the loss of her husband, and trying to figure out what she's going to do. And they said that this family had a pack of killer dogs. Killer dogs. 27 killer dogs. All lies. They have about 15 dogs. Most of them are puppies. They have 15 dogs. Most of them are puppies.
They claim the dogs have attacked people, but we can find absolutely no one who can show us a dog bite from any of those dogs, including the sheriff who claims he was attacked. No dog bites on any of these people anywhere, ever. All lies. Claim that their children are illiterate because they didn't go to school. All lies. They were homeschooled. Very well, I might add. Very well behaved, very polite. Speak good English. They can all write. They can all read. They can all do math. Above the level of children their own age who go to the local public school. To get the warrant against Mrs. McGuckin, the prosecutor testified. The prosecutor testified. He actually took the stand against her to get a warrant about a subject he knew absolutely nothing about. Claimed first-hand knowledge, and he lied. He lied. All the children are in excellent health. None of them demonstrate any malnutrition whatsoever, period. It's all lies. It's all starting to come out. Mrs. McGuckin had no legal representative and no money when she was arrested. So the judge appointed a public defender. You know what that means? Somebody who is in the lowest bottom rung of their graduating class at law school, who is working basically for minimum wage, is an officer of the court, has to kiss butt every day in order to stay in that job long enough to get some experience to maybe go somewhere else and work for some real money. So they don't dare do what the judge or the local officials don't want them to do. Mrs. McGuckin did not want that attorney. A lawyer named Steele offered his services for free. Went to see his client. They absolutely refused to let him see Mrs. McGuckin. Mrs. McGuckin told the judge and everybody else she didn't want this public defender. She wanted Steele. The judge said no. Steele could work with the public defender, and the public defender refused to allow him to talk to his client. Now, because of the public outcry and because of the fact that it's coming out now, all this crooked double dealing and stealing their land. You see, she wasn't paranoid. She was right all along. She knew exactly what these jerk, Nazi jackbooted, scum-sucking thugs were doing. She knew it. She wasn't paranoid. She was right. Every time I listen to a news report on CNN or ABC or CBS or any of those, MSNBC, they were lying through their teeth. They said the 15-year-old boy had been wandering in the woods all night and he came out to a neighbor's house and he had a concussion. He didn't have any concussion. He wasn't wandering in the woods all night. The neighbors came over and talked him in to coming over to their house and talking to them about meeting with officials. And that's what the boy did. He wasn't malnourished. He wasn't sick. He was examined by a doctor and pronounced healthy. No concussion. No malnutrition. No nothing. All lies. All lies. Did you know that the family had electricity the whole time? The whole time, and the media was reporting that their electricity had been shut off long, long time ago for non-payment of bills, and that was a lie. See, I knew that was a lie. Remember that night when I first told you what the news was reporting? That it's against the law to shut off the electricity in a house where there are minor children? You can't do it. In most states that I know of. So what's this all about? It's about a bunch of very powerful criminals in local government in Sandpoint, Idaho, who stole a large piece of property, lakefront property that's extremely valuable from this family so they could all get rich subdividing it and selling it to suckers from out of state. That's what it's all about. Thanks to this broadcast, all of it has come out because we alerted the whole world to what was happening there. I want to thank all of you. I want to thank those of you who went there. I want to thank those of you who called, those of you who faxed, those of you who raised holy hell, those of you who called every radio talk show across this nation. Thank you. You see, there's a method to my madness. And those Nazi jackbooted Marxist scum-sucking traitor fools can call me anything they want, any time they want. We're going to stop them in their tracks every time we can, and there's never going to be another Waco in this country. Never, it's never going to happen. And we will restore a constitutional Republican government. They are not going to have their socialist one-world government. That's not going to happen. They're not going to get the guns out of the hands of the American citizens. Because guns in the hands of the American citizens after my broadcast that night is what made sure nobody hurt any of those people. Not Mrs. McGuckin and not any of those children in that house. And don't you even think about believing that without that happening, it would have been handled properly in the courts. It might be handled properly in the courts now that the truth is coming out because we forced it out. But without that, no. Mrs. McGuckin would have gone to a mental institution and would have disappeared into a black hole forever. Her children would have been taken forcibly from that house. They would have busted down the doors. They would have rounded them up. They would have taken them forcibly. Cycled them through psychiatrists and psychologists. They would all be put on Ritalin. They would be separated from each other. And they would disappear into the black hole of sexual molestation in the foster home program. And nobody would have ever known that their property had been stolen. Nobody would have ever known that the husband had just died 3 weeks before. No one would ever know that Mrs. McGuckin was not using the food money for alcohol. No one would ever know that the children were not illiterate but were well homeschooled. I've never seen a child that was homeschooled that wasn't at a higher level than children of the same age who attend public school. They always make the highest SAT scores. They are sought out by the universities. They make the highest scores on interest tests. They win all the academic contests. Yet they're still called illiterate because they didn't attend public school. No one would ever know that they weren't subsisting on a diet of lily pads from the lake.
And yeah, when their well went dry, they were drawing their water from the lake to flush their toilets, wash their dishes, and after boiling it, drinking it, yes. And by the way, tests have shown, ladies and gentlemen, that are available to the public, that the water in that lake is probably cleaner than the water that flows through the city water pipes. In fact, it's some of the cleanest water in the whole Northwest United States. Now they're trying to get out from under this, and they're scared. Now they're offering to let Joanne McGuckin go free without any bail if she'll agree not to attempt to see any of her children, and if she'll agree not to attempt to see any other lawyer than the public defender, not to go on any radio shows or television shows. In other words, they don't want her to have proper defense, and they don't want anybody to hear the truth from her mouth. First, the bail was $10,000, and then it was up to $100,000 when they found out the world was onto their scheme. And then after so much public pressure was exerted, the bail went down to zero. And now they're trying to make a deal with her to keep her mouth shut. Don't do it, Joanne. Don't make a deal with the devil. Don't choose the lesser of two evils ever, because a deal with the devil is still a deal with the devil. And Karl Marx is the devil, if he ever walked on this earth. That was Karl Marx, guaranteed. And from him, his philosophy sprang V.I. Lenin, who killed hundreds of millions of people. Joseph Stalin, who killed hundreds of millions of people. Mao Zedong, who killed hundreds of millions of people. Fidel Castro, who's probably killed many hundreds of thousands of people. Che Guevara, who instituted revolution and insurrection all throughout Central and South America, who killed hundreds of thousands of people. Crookedness, lies. That's what Marx taught. He taught, in order to get their socialist world, the end justifies the means, and they're to lie, cheat, kill, steal, destroy by any means possible. And these fools who follow his teachings actually believe that good is going to come of that. Anything born of a lie is just another lie. A compounded lie, a bigger lie. Anything born of murder makes whatever that was born of murder a murderer forever. Socialism saps the sustenance of the soul. Indeed, destroys it, denies the existence of God, tells you that this is it, and when you die, you turn to dust. Tells you that if you follow Marx's teachings and destroy everything and everybody and lie and cheat and steal and murder, that you will be able to live in a world where everything is free and nice, and you'll never go hungry, and you'll never have to work hard, and you'll always have a place to live, a nice place. And a nice bed to sleep in. And good, nice, wholesome, healthy food to eat. Yet in every instance where I've seen socialism come to power in this world, that has never happened. Just the opposite has happened. A great percentage of the population is called through murder. Murder. Another great percentage of the population goes off to slave labor camps, so that the state doesn't have to pay for the labor. And they actually work hard, and they believe in it until they find out that their life is not better, that they work harder,
They work harder for less. That there is no opportunity ever to ever change that. And so pretty soon they pretend to work and the state pretends to pay them. And still people disappear in the middle of night. Or they go off to the store and they never come back. Millions and millions and millions of them. And the people in charge become so corrupt and so crooked and so dirty and such lying thieves, such tyrants, such despots, that the people who were supposed to look for them for their salvation fear them and duck them and hide from them for as long as they can. For the rest of their life. And if they're lucky, they get to die in their hovel, because that's all you have under that kind of system. If not, then they die with a bullet in the back of the head after a show trial in some rotten, stinking hellhole of a prison. Or a slave labor camp. And in the case of Cuba and the Soviet Union, everybody gets drunk every night to forget how bad it really is. Look around this country, folks. Socialism has been creeping into everything for many, many years. And as it does, and as the teachings of Marx proliferate in this country, you see a greater proliferation of lies, falsehoods, deceit, and deception. And at some point, it becomes okay. And it's not even a bad thing anymore to lie. And that's already happened in this country. Amongst the population where the end justifies the means, you begin to see people doing all kinds of shady, terrible, despicable, horrible things in order to get what they want. They murder people. They steal from people. They destroy people. They destroy families. The law means nothing anymore. They invent laws that never existed. They ignore the constitutions and the restrictions placed upon them, and they do what they want. And Hollywood and the television convinces the people that they actually have the authority to do that when they don't. And things happen to people like Randy Weaver and the Branch Davidians. And when they really want to do some social engineering, they blow up buildings like they did in Oklahoma City to demonize a whole class of people that had nothing to do with it and get a despotic, unconstitutional anti-terrorism bill passed through Congress that never would have been passed otherwise. And they do things like they did to the McGuckins in Sandpoint, Idaho. They do things like what they've done to me and my family and many others. These things happen every day in every state of the Union all across this country every single day. And it's very seldom ever picked up by the major news unless somebody brings it to the attention where it cannot be ignored, like I did on this broadcast last week. And we've done the same thing in many other interstices of the history of this broadcast. That's why William Jefferson Clinton called me the most dangerous radio host in America. Because I shoot truth. And those are the most destructive bullets you can ever use against these scum. And they're everywhere. They're in your city councils. They're in your county supervisor board. They're in your board of education. They're in your state house. They're in your state legislature. They're on your police departments, usually leading it. They're everywhere.
They own Washington, D.C. and every agency in federal government today. It is owned and controlled and operated by socialists, Marxists, liars, cheats, Nazi jackbooted scum-sucking Gestapo pigs. Every one of them. You want to see some criminals? Turn on C-SPAN. You can watch them 24 hours a day. And that, folks, is the truth of the matter. And you can take it to the bank. Girls and folks, 520-333-4578. 520-333-4578. Take your calls for the rest of the broadcast. Find out. What did you do? What did you do after I shook up the world behind this microphone last week? What did you do? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. Could you please clarify this for me? I heard on the regular news radio that the five children turned themselves into the sheriff who placed them in the custody of Child Welfare Agency. And I'm wondering, what has been accomplished? I mean, what happened to all the people who drove there to protect the children?
They did protect them. The children are alive and they're safe.
Are they with a relative or somebody
like
that?
They will be with good friends of the family.
Okay, so they're not in some foster home or something
not,
that they're going to be?
Not yet, no.
Not yet?
No.
Okay.
And we don't believe that that's going to happen.
Okay, but the children are safe?
Yes, they're safe. We accomplished our goal. Our goal was to make sure that nothing happened to those children.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Yeah, I thought I made that very clear. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill.
Yes.
Everything you said is the truth. I swear to God. We're doing something here in New York for these people. We're going to start sending them money.
Good.
She was arrested for being poor, okay? This is why she was arrested.
She was arrested.
And she was taken advantage of.
No. She was arrested to keep the world from finding out that they stole her land. And she wasn't going to leave the property.
Right, okay. Well, okay, this is what we're going to do, Bill. We're going to start sending her donations. Me, myself, I can't even pay my month's rent this month, but I'm going to send her $5, okay?
That's
now,
fine.
We must have at least 1 million patriots out there, okay? Huh? I got her address right here. I want to give it to everyone on the air and send her money. And gee, if we get $5 a piece or even a dollar, whatever you can afford, I mean, here we just send a dollar a piece to have $1 million. There's 1 million of us. And I'm also doing with the local radio station, calling in and, telling them about it and trying to get everybody to send them money, okay?
Good. Hold on before you go any further.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that I was going to do that later in the program. It's already been on the website for days.
Okay, I know that.
Listeners to this broadcast and visitors to our website have already sent to the trust fund up there probably $10,000 or $20,000.
Okay. So, okay. Well, she should get at least a million or more from this.
Well, she should.
And,
yeah.
I mean, I want her. I want her and her children to be, you know, taken care of really good. And I want this to be a lesson to the people in this country that we're not going to put up for it. We're not going to be bringing guns and bullets. We didn't shoot nobody, but we're going to send her money and we're going to help our own.
Well, we did. We did take guns and bullets, and we didn't shoot anybody.
But
the knowledge, that I made that broadcast, and people went there, and more people were on the way, and people made all those phone calls and sent those faxes and called every radio talk show host in this whole country. That impressed them. It also scared the hell out of them.
Okay, will you please give her address every day this week when you broadcast?
Sure, but you go ahead and give it now.
Okay, you say it's Joanne. How do you spell Joanne? What kind of, because J-O-A-N-N-E, is that the way it's spelled?
Well, we're just going to say J-O-A-N-N.
Well, see, I don't know. So you're going to have to check. If someone's going to send a check in, you know.
It'll be fine. Then all you got to do is put McGurk in, and you're not going to send it to her personally anyway. You're going to send it to the trust fund.
Well, anyway, this is what we're sending it.
No, this is what you send it to, McGurkin Family Trust. If you send it to anybody else, you can't guarantee that she'll get it.
Okay, well, we were just sending it directly to her.
No, send it to the McGurkin Family Trust. Go to the website, get the information there.
Okay, that's 105 North 1st Avenue,
yes.
Number 277.
Yes.
Sandpoint, that's one word, Idaho, 83864. -1307.
Yes.
That's the right zip code and everything?
Yes.
Okay.
If anything changes, I'll tell you.
Okay, let's do what we can for this woman. Let's treat her like a queen. We're not gonna put up with this. We're gonna stick together.
But make it out to the McGurkin Family Trust.
That's McGukin. That's a small C after the M, right? That's what I was told.
You must have a story in front of you somewhere. Go look it up, okay?
That's what we're doing here in New York, upstate New York.
All right.
Okay, Bill. Take it easy.
You're welcome. 520-333-4570. If you're going to send money, make sure you send it to the right place. Go to our website. It's right there. It's on the website, okay? It's on the website. It's right there. It tells you exactly where to send your money. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Bill. Just a little suggestion. Somebody in Sandpoint ought to go to the Bonner County Courthouse and research property deeds and records. And
it's already being done.
Oh, very, very good. You know, that information might be made public. Not that I would want people to do anything rash, you understand.
Well, we're not talking about that, but we need to know who bought that property. They got a deal.
I think that's a very, very good idea.
Yeah.
Well, see you later and good luck.
Okay.
Bye now.
Thanks for calling. Also, the sale was not properly advertised. Only a few people knew that that property was going to be sold, and it sold for $50,000. Million-dollar piece of property. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Everything that you just said, I've heard almost verbatim earlier today on a talk show over Shortwave. The name of the Shortwave program is Common Sense Coalition on 12.170.
Never heard of them.
Okay.
But it's coming out. It's all coming out. They can't hide this stuff. Once it starts getting out and people start looking in the corners, all the cockroaches are going to be found.
Mm-hmm. I found this out. It's called Bonner. It's in Bonner County. Okay?
That's the name of the county, yeah.
Yeah, right. And they said that Bonner County government is interested in the property.
Sure they are.
They said the property, they said, was right by a pristine lake.
No, it's the lake is on the property.
Okay, well, yeah, that's what I meant. The property that was sold for the back taxes was sold for $50,000.
Yeah.
It was appraised for $500,000.
Yeah. Well, and that's by a local appraiser who's probably part of the land scam.
Uh-huh.
Any lakefront property that big, I guarantee, is worth more than $500,000,
right,
especially if you're going to subdivide it and sell off lakefront lots and stuff like that.
Exactly. And if they owed us back taxes, it would make common sense to sell some of that acreage to pay for the back taxes.
Well, if you owe back taxes, it's also common to give you a grace period and try to work for you to pay those off.
Exactly. Yes.
They gave them no mercy, no grace period, no warning, no nothing.
Okay. And according to the Sierra Times and the Idaho Observer, it says the prosecutor acted as a witness, allegedly, against her.
Yeah, I already said that.
Okay, that's what they said, too, and that would be, he would be under perjury, wouldn't he?
Well, the least it could be is unethical.
Sure.
The most it could be is a serious crime.
Mm-hmm.
How can a prosecutor who has an interest in convicting somebody act as a witness against them?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well,
but I'll tell you one thing he did by doing that. See, prosecutors are normally exempt from prosecution because of their actions in the performance of their duty as a prosecutor. But if he actually does something like that, then he loses his immunity. And she can go after him with everything in the world.
I think they mentioned something about that, too. But I just wanted to tell you that what you had said was right. I mean, almost verbatim. Okay? And I heard a lot of some of this the other night when I was listening to you.
Well, unfortunately, we knew most of this. Started getting most of this on Friday. We knew all of it on Saturday, but our next broadcast wasn't until tonight. So.
Uh-huh. Well, I like your opening statement. Hey, Bill, doesn't it hurt so good? Oh, yeah, you have a good one.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, you see what we did? We did a good thing, folks. Then I got lots of calls.
What, are you crazy? You trying to start a war?
Nope, just saved some children, and we did it. We did it. We not only saved the children, but we brought everything out in the open, and now the scum that persecuted that family are going to pay for it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. I'm calling from Florida. I got an email from Edgar J. Steele, the attorney who lives down the road from the McGuckins.
Uh-huh.
He asked... In a prior email, that anyone who wants to be on his mailing list regarding this, I could disseminate the email, and it's Steele, Steele, at plainlawtalk, that's one word, .com. So if your listeners want to get on his email list about this case, and get the latest news. He's very good at updating.
Great.
And the email that I got here tonight was this, that I'm not good at military time. You're going to have to help me out here at 1558.47. He said, oops, my last to you was sent before the magistrate's order even made it to the clerk, since she had ruled at about 1:30 p.m. PST. In what promises to be an ongoing story with surprising twists, Joanne has now created another standoff situation, this time in the county jail. While waiting for the paperwork to be released, McGuckin's court-appointed criminal defense lawyer, Bryce Powell, told the judge his client would not accept the conditions. My client demands dismissal of the charges and child protection proceedings and an apology, Powell said. She will not leave the jail at this time. I think she's right. She didn't do anything wrong.
Does that sound like a malnourished, insane alcoholic to you?
I have been on this because I have press credentials, but I couldn't get there since the story. The first thing I heard on AT, and I started to ask what you have to do as a reporter. I know this. What you have to do when you see this media stuff is ask the questions they don't answer, or they don't even ask. And I called we called the sheriff, and we called the editor of the Bonner County Bee. Her name is Carrie something, and one of the first questions I asked her, I had a whole list, and I asked her, what is the value of the property? And she says, oh, well, it's down by the county dump, and it's really valueless.
No, bullshit.
So I said, oh, yeah, right. And so if you want to...
So maybe, is she part of this, too?
I have. In my town, which is Panama City, Florida, it's a little bit more subtle, but not very much.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not be surprised if something like that happened here.
Yeah.
And yes, the newspapers are all in on it, and so are the news services. And when you listen to CNN, It's the same thing. It's the questions they're not answered, they're not asking that have to be answered.
Yeah.
So we've been with you since the beginning on this. My husband and I listen to you every night. Keep up the wonderful work.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You too. Apparently,
Thank you. You've been doing
some wonderful work on it. And she's not the only one. A lot of you did some wonderful things after that broadcast. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Dolly from Illinois.
Hi.
And in this paper, they really did a trashing on the McGuckin family. And
they've done that everywhere.
Oh, yeah. The former the sheriff is a former San Diego police captain of the SWAT commando.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Nobody is a former police captain of the SWAT of San Diego in Bonner County, Utah.
Right.
Unless he's a crooked cop and got kicked off the force, because you don't go to a lower position.
It says he retired, and they persuaded him to run.
Give me a break.
A Republican ran for sheriff in 2000 and received 74% of the vote in a three-way race. You ought to check for vote fraud there.
No kidding.
And then it says that... this part is good. It says, but he avoided pressure tactics from news agencies and scheduled briefings, and he did not want to provide a forum for anti-government extremists that were inundating him with malicious email. And the last sentence says, Jarvis said he was proud of the performance of his 102 employees, including four detectives and fewer than two dozen patrol officers.
Yeah, guess what? If it hadn't been for my broadcast that night, and the pressure that we put on them through the efforts of this radio audience and the people that they reached through their efforts,
that
whole thing would have ended up as a terrible tragedy.
Right, and they have to do a debriefing on Monday so that they can see what shortcomings they had in the handling of the case.
And I want you to listen to me, Sheriff, you crook. We are not anti-government extremists. We are law-abiding Americans who believe in the Constitution as the supreme law of the land, not your crooked machinations in Bonner County, Idaho, or anywhere else for that matter.
And I hope that the children do get with their mother, because the last report I heard was that the mother was not allowed to see the children or talk to them, and that's part of the condition.
Yeah, I've already said that. That's the condition of the judge that she refuses to go along with. And she's going to win in this. She's going to win out. You watch.
And I hope they prove the fraud.
Oh,
good
boy.
Night, Bill.
Good night. Thank you for calling. Anti-government extremists. Hey, we're the only ones today. If it wasn't for so-called anti-government extremists who really do believe in government, the real government, the supreme law of the land, we wouldn't have even a resemblance of government today. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. I was just wanting to call and tell you that reminded me of the incident that happened in Roby, Illinois, a couple of years back that I'd went to. They said the woman was mentally ill and an alcoholic.
Yeah, she wasn't. The children were trying to steal her property.
Yes, they were. I went down there, and I was there for that. And everything they said was the same thing they had said about that woman.
Yeah.
And it just put me in mind of that, and I just wanted to call in and thank you for what you did.
You're welcome. We brought the world's attention to that, too, didn't we?
Yes, you did. Yes. I live in St. Louis, and I drove down there myself when that happened, and it's exactly like you said, and I was there for the whole thing, and that's exactly what happened.
There was nothing wrong with that woman. She was just an elderly woman who owned a lot of property, and her children couldn't wait until she died.
They asked her neighbors what was wrong with her, and they said the only thing she was a good neighbor.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, well, I just wanted to thank you.
Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Anti-government extremists. All these people who are destroying this country are the anti-government extremists. Everyone who believes in Karl Marx or communism are anti-government extremists. Everybody who believes the constitutional Republican government has to be changed or destroyed are anti-government extremists. We are the last hope of constitutional Republican government in this country. We are pro-government, and we are not extremists. If we are, then every patriot who's ever lived and defended our freedom from George Washington right up to the present day is also an anti-government extremist, and we're in damn good company. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I just want to say that me and Baby Mark in the air.
Good night, Poopy. You've got no free speech here. You want free speech, you little Marxist puke-faced coward? You get your own radio broadcast. You pay for it. And you spout your poison all around the world. If you got the guts, which we know that you don't, and if you've got the money, and we know you don't have that because you expect everything for free, I bet you don't even have a job, puke-faced little Marxist traitor. Good evening. You're on the air.
Real quick.
Nope. Not real quick. Same guy. We're out of time, folks. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Poo and Allison. I love you. Thank all of you who really did something. I want to thank those of you who went. I want to thank those of you who called and faxed and called other talk show hosts and radio programs all across this country after my broadcast. I want to thank you. You saved the lives of those children. You caused the whole government there to change its stance. You caused the judge to take that $100,000 bail away. But they're going to win. Their family's going to get back together thanks to you. You can pat yourself on the back. You did a good job. Those of you who didn't do a damn thing, screw you. Up yours. You're the problem in this country. Go look in the mirror. You'll see what's wrong with this country staring at you. And if that pisses you off, good. Good. Maybe next time you'll do something. I hope it makes you cry, actually. You've been listening to Hour of Time. I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. And now you know why. For all those of you sitting around making excuses why you never do anything.
You got no money? Hey, I got no money.
You got family to support?
Hey, I got a family to support.
If you're not a college professor, hey, I'm not either. I'm just an ordinary guy that decided I'm not going to sit back on the back burner anymore. Let somebody else save my butt. No, I am somebody. If you don't believe it, you keep listening to this broadcast. You'll find out. And once you find out that I can be somebody, well, why don't you quit making excuses? Because you too can be somebody. Somebody useful. Somebody good. Somebody worthwhile. You can help us save this country. All you gotta do is get off your butt and quit whining. That's easy to do. I'm a doctor, I'm a doula, I'm a lover.
We have ordered it.